mentors and new friends like Sarah DeVello on episode 52. And she flat out told me, like, it was blunt. Like, that was when she said it flat out. She said to me, I'm going to be very blunt with you because, you know, you came from the East Coast. I'm going to talk to you like East Coast. You know, why the hell you're putting away, like, throwing away NASA and not incorporating that in your brand? And, you know, you can't do all these different things. You can't do this, this, and this. Maybe later on you can, but you need to bring in NASA to this because you have built in so much knowledge and skills that you need to bring it in. So that was like a part of the conversation. Thus the start of the name, The Fitness Astronaut.
This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 100 with the fitness astronaut, Layla Ramadian.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things geek.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show and welcome to the 100th episode of the AOL podcast. Glad that you could join us today. If session 100 is the first session you're listening to, my name is JC Preston, founder of New Inceptions, a website dedicated to helping people create their own personal freedom. And each Thursday for the last 99 weeks, we've been bringing you life lessons or a message from successful entrepreneurs, experts, and artists to help you do your life's work and live a lifestyle that you're proud of. With me today is Layla Ramadian, who's been busy doing a lot of things recently, including a ton of traveling. And, you know, we wanted to make this session kind of a twofer. First, we wanted to find out how things are going for her and make it a silver edition, as well as just kind of, you know, do a review of the show and where we've been able to go with it since its inception. You see what I did there? Now, for those of you who have been listening for a while, you'll remember that Layla was first on the show back in session 14, and you know, back then she wasn't quite sure what she wanted to do with herself, and at that point, in fact, you know, she still had a goal of becoming a certified professional engineer because that was something that she always wanted to do. Well, long story short, she's much more focused in who she's working with today, and has no inclination of going back to the corporate world. So in today's chat, we talk a bit about that path and all the bumps and everything, all the obstacles that she's had to go through and some of the things, you know, she's learned along the way. But we look at it from the perspective of how being a part of the show has given her that ability to connect with all of our guests. You know, those guests, guys, they're available to you as well. All you have to do is reach out to us and we'll connect you, or you can just join the AOL networking group on Facebook. Anyway, more specifically, we discuss where we're both at after 100 episodes, roughly 2 years, what she's learned by being a part of the show, common themes that we've caught onto from the different guests that we've had, and a short roadmap from the themes that we've learned about. Before we dive in, though, just want to remind you guys about ClickFunnels. And if, you know, you're going to be hearing about in this session expert secrets quite a bit, and we also talk about a lot of the experimentation with sales funnels that I've been doing recently. And I know I'm starting to find out that with my technical background, this is something that I can surely help people with. And when it comes to sales funnels, you know, especially up until recently, there are three parts to each one. I mean, they are pretty darn complicated outside of what you had to learn for, you know, hosting and domain names and WordPress and just more things for you to figure out. And those three parts were, you know, a landing page. This is, you know, where the person goes to when they click on an ad or a link for a particular product. Many call it a product page. Then there's also the autoresponder. You know, this captures emails for continued engagement. And then there's also a shopping cart where the customers can actually make a purchase, right? So, you know, every shop that you shop from is always going to have that little shopping cart icon in the top right. usually that's where it's at. But, you know, each part has its own service that you had to subscribe to back in the day before ClickFunnels. And, you know, often if you were to go with all these services a la carte, you're paying $120 or more per month for all of them, you know, just based on all the bells and whistles that you want for each product. And what's great about ClickFunnels is that all these are all under one roof, making it less expensive for the basic option. And because you're all under that one roof, you don't have to worry about integrating them together like other solutions you would have to. And in fact, you know, the cool thing about it is that there's a lot of simple dragging and dropping. So if you're making a sales funnel for yourself, ClickFunnels is something that I highly recommend you check out. And if you want to try it out, all you have to do is go over to newinceptions.com/ClickFunnels and you'll get enrolled into a 14-day trial. So, you know, if you want to find out more about it again, just head on over to newinceptions.com/ClickFunnels. As usual, show notes and show note extras can be found at newinceptions.com/100. And of course, I'll be on after the show to fill you in on anything we might have missed. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. JC here with Layla, our in-house fitness expert. How are you doing today, Layla?
I'm doing great, JC. How are you doing? It's been so long.
Yes, too long. I missed you. I thought you kind of disappeared off the face of the earth, but this is the big 100th episode, and I wanted to do something a little special for it, as many podcasts out there these days do when they get to this point.
Oh my gosh, the 100. Wow.
Right?
We're going in three digits now.
I've been using three digits the entire time. It's just everything led with a zero.
Okay, now it's a one.
Yeah, it's a one. Right, exactly.
Feels like the millennial age or the Y2K.
Yes. Yeah, would it have been an ought? Is that how you say that? An ought zero? Like, I don't know.
I don't know. But all I know is that the true three-digit phase.
Are we going into
English? Oh my gosh. I just thought of, you know why I did that? Because for some reason I was thinking of the Ricky Gervais show and Carl Peckington. And for some reason it's just, yeah, it's really three digits.
But yes, yeah, no problem.
I listen to the BBC so much. I love British comedy. I love British episodes. So it's well,
and you off. And you've been out there traveling a bit too. But
thank you.
Yeah, we'll get to that here in a second. But you know, as many as you guys know, Layla's been a co-host of mine ever since the beginning of the show, and you know she's been hard at work launching it globally instead of nationwide. As the lifestyle and wedding fitness coach, also known as the fitness astronaut. And, you know, she's, you know, as well has been a co-host on the show. And so I thought it'd be great to have her on specifically for this one, because she's seen all the changes that we've both been going through. And so today I want to talk about some of the learning curves that we've had to go through to get to this point, good and bad. But both of our businesses, some of our takeaways that we've learned from our favorite guests, and give you guys a bit of a roadmap of what you can do to make the journey a bit more enjoyable for yourself. If you know starting your own show or your business is something that you've been considering, so maybe you've already started one. You know, you're still on a show. That's fine as well. But yeah, Layla, what's going on with you recently? I know that you've been up to a lot of things, but again, long time that you've been on the show. So what's up?
Oh my gosh, JC, you know, I'm in a better point where I was 2 years ago, flat out, you know, and I was, you know, I've been working the dream, traveling, and I have learned a lot working with you being on the show. I'm so honored to be part of your show and just be a co-host with you. And yeah, a lot has happened. You know, I just got back from China a couple weeks ago, and just yesterday I got back from you know, a 1 week road trip, seeing families on both sides, in-laws and traveling this road tripping, but still working. I mean, and so I've been just kind of just living what I have been preaching, is like traveling, living light, being active and healthy. But since we last got on, I really dived in more into my business. And
what's that been like?
Oh, it's been amazing. I mean, when I started with you 2 years ago, I kind of was all over the place. I'll be honest. I was all over the place, still trying to figure out my market. I know I said on the show I was going to definitely become a licensed engineer. And I told you, like, I'm doing this for my dad. I'm doing this. And then I get the course and I said, I don't want to do this at all. Like, I basically waited to the last day to get my full refund. And I said, I'm sorry, I need a refund. I realized my passion had changed dramatically. That was a good pivotal moment for me to pursue entrepreneurship and becoming happily unemployed. And started a YouTube channel and started documenting my life and documenting things that were important to me. But most importantly, the big pivotal moment was for me when my husband and I went to Europe for our 1 year anniversary. And I kind of like bumped into a lot of entrepreneurs, and we're still on the show. But when I was in Europe and just seeing this lifestyle that people were having, and we were backpacking London to Rome, you know, and I have a whole video series on that on my YouTube channel, Layla Alia, and just sharing this experience. But most importantly was I bumped into a bunch of small entrepreneurs and business owners. And this lady who I'll never forget, she actually made my purse. She said to me, why waste your life on working for someone else's dream when you can't make your own? It was Di Girolamo is the name of her company, a slow fashion business. And so, but overall, for me, it was the fact that I want to do more of the traveling. I want more of this without having to ever have to shut off my business.
Right.
Not say, oh, I want to travel the world and work this many hours a day. No, I want to still be able to work anywhere in the world and still be able to live this life I want and be fully committed to my clients. So I decided to focus on where it all started. And it was my wedding. And remembering the part that I enjoyed the most, was it work or was it after work going to work? And it was after work going to work, which was working out to get fit in my dress. And but then the great thing about working with you and working with being on this podcast is I spoke to a lot of entrepreneurs. And after the show, I would follow up with everybody, thanking them for being on the show and just having conversations. It was really the focusing on what I have done so far to this point and not just putting it aside, but taking it with me. And that's where the fitness astronaut started.
Right. So you also put a refocus in traveling, and even recently, and this is one of the reasons why you haven't been a co-host for so long, is because you've been back to back, you were in China, and then you were just this past week. Like, this is your first day back of being up north and being between, what is it, Wisconsin and Minnesota? Was that where you were at?
Yes. Okay. So I actually I was in China, then I came home, reacclimated, and then I went to Minnesota, and then I went to Wisconsin and did an intensive, like, 1,000 mile road trip. And my husband was driving and I was working the car the whole time and then unplugging and then focusing and then plugging. And it was just great. You know, I was working I was actually, just to give you an example, I was doing coaching calls at the Mall of America. I was able to do coaching calls right before I got hopped on a roller coaster at the Wisconsin Dells, which I'm learning about a lot lately. Have you heard of the Dells?
And I was actually going to ask you what took you up there specifically. I mean,
well, to be honest, I went to Minnesota to see my cousin. I hadn't seen her since our engagement party 2 years ago. And so it was Rochester, Minnesota, and we went to Minneapolis, and kind of just my mom was there. My sister and my mom flew up from Houston. We all got together and just checked it out and spent time with her. And then I went to, then after that, we went to do our 1 year in-law family trip. And that it was, we decided to go to the Wisconsin Dells, which is this famous, called the water park capital of the world or America. So a lot of cool roller coasters, wild water parks, and just beautiful nature. And I got to still do coaching calls while I was there in between the times. So it felt good that the vision I had a year ago while I was in Europe for my 1 year anniversary was coming alive. And so basically, while I was in China, I was still able to work remotely. And it was actually kind of nice because while my clients were sleeping, I was working. And then when they would wake up, I was awake to do our coaching calls. And then I would go to bed and they would do what I had told them to do. So it was just a really great way to check it out and test out this method idea that I had.
Mm. Cool. So a lot of traveling. And one of the things that definitely sticks out to me when you, what you were saying there is when you went to Europe, you know, you said that you wanted more of your life to be like this. And thus far, you've already started to do this a bit. How has that been? How is having that goal out there for yourself been able to help you focus on what needs to be done?
I think the goal was the fact that I niched myself, and in a good way. There's nothing wrong with saying I niched myself. I basically wanted to focus on the type of clients that I wanted to help, which were the brides. I mean, I was my first client. I couldn't fit in my dress 5 months before the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of decided to really say, hey, I'm a lifestyle and wedding fitness coach. And as I was focusing since coming back from Europe was, hey, and talking to mentors, lots of mentors, to really help me tune in this idea, and that was to bring in my NAS experience and the wedding experience and just really use that as a focus of saying, hey, I'm a fitness astronaut. I help brides explore fitness as astronauts explore space, or even non-brides.
Mm-hmm.
Helping people explore fitness as astronauts explore space, and making it my mission to help them count down towards the aisle, a countdown towards a vacation goal or any goal. And so, yeah, it's basically I'm focusing on helping brides get fit for their wedding and become wedding fit forever.
Mm. Awesome. And not too distant in the future, then this is a new development, is that apparently your first time over in China worked out so well, being able to work remotely, that you guys are actually looking to move there now, huh?
Yes, we're moving to China. We tested it out for 2 weeks while we were there for business, and my husband has an opportunity to work there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went there for him, but also we went there for my business to confirm, hey, can I do this?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really important, is having your loved ones support you in the business, not just saying, hey, we're going to drop everything and go with what he's doing, and I just sit around as a traveling spouse. It's not going to work for me. No,
right.
I go crazy. My husband says, like, I got to make sure you can do your work or else I'm going to go crazy. But yes, we are moving to China. We are going to move later this year, and I'm basically going to be working booster speed online. Mm-hmm. And my business is online, so I just confirmed it when I went to these trips. Said, hey, I can do it.
Good deal.
So lots of traveling. We'll be learning Mandarin and living the life we want.
Good deal.
Okay, enough about me, JC. Okay, I want to know how you've been doing, because episode 100, as obviously we said, how have you been doing business-wise?
Right.
And life, you know, in general. So.
Okay, so kind of interesting. So you know how the biggest advice that you hear out there is just begin, right? Just start. Just go ahead. Well, 100 sessions in, and, you know, again, this is kind of a report between the two of us of what just starting gets you, I guess.
Yes.
And
it's like a check-in. We're checking in.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is that my craft has mm-hmm. become the podcast, and using it as a medium to, you know, meet all kinds of people and all that, you know, everything that came with it, and making sure my audio sounded better and better, which I talked about more in the recent episode with Cole Johnson. But, you know, the thing is that it's been interesting. I have, again, using it as a way of mm-hmm. meeting more and more people. I've come to find out what other people have, you know, what has worked for them and what hasn't worked for them. And it seems to me that the people that have made things work, and you've kind of said this, are those people that have learned to collaborate and, you know, work with other people.
Yes.
And so I don't know how some of these folks have done it, but I seem to get the most out of actually working with people directly, kind of locally here. Whereas, you know, I don't know if that time has passed or not, but, you know, there was a point on the internet where, you know, you would have the Pat Flynn's or the, which I use as an example all the time because he was the first sample that I ever saw of this world.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just seems to me that just to be suddenly out there on the internet and making a name from yourself from day one, I don't know if that time has passed, but to me, it doesn't make a sense, or it's not as easy as a path as it might have once been, because that the internet is saturated, and also social media doesn't work exactly the same way as it once did back then. I mean, you can't post something on your page. Changing. Yeah. You can't put something on your page and everybody see it. You just can't do that. And like the biggest thing that you see out there now is like Facebook ads, Facebook groups, LinkedIn groups. You know, early on we had Myrna on the show that she was talking about doing LinkedIn groups. I mean, there's just, things have changed so much since when I first learned about the game, so to speak. So some of the things that I'm focusing on right now include like doing sales funnels for people, because this is something that's become more and more of a issue with folks, is that, you know, they have realized that they have to do their advertising on Facebook, or they have realized that they have to, you know, get reviews on Google, on Facebook, on Amazon, really depending on whatever it is that they want to do. So I'm kind of leaning more towards that entry position, where in the past I focused more on helping people make content, because content used to be the thing that drove traffic, but it's not so much, it still is, but it goes hand in hand with good marketing. And so I'm you know, focusing more on learning the marketing side of things so that we can get people to my clients' content. All right. So that's one thing. And for me, it's definitely in my wheelhouse, because I have, again, that kind of the both sides of my brain are always working kind of at the same time and kind of tripping over each other half of the time as well. Because I've always been interested in art, but I've always been interested in technology. And when you put those two together, you kind of get online marketing. You know?
Yes. I love how you said that, because, you know, when you're telling, like saying how things have changed in social media so much that you have to boost it, you have to do something to it, and coming up with a sales funnel or a way to help people, it's so true, because it's so hard to get that organic reach if you haven't developed a following.
Right. And it just seems that like all those things have been turned off, that the early people, like the Tim Ferrisses, again, the Pat Flynn's, the Gary V's, all those people, they got in. Yeah, it might have been nice to get in early, but it's not that they got in early. It's just that the world has changed so much since they got in. They still have to play by the rules of today. I mean, they still have to change themselves, But for you to kind of go back and try to do everything the way they used to do back in the day to get themselves to where they are, that's not going to work for you anymore today.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the thing. So now I'm taking the practices of what's going on today and then helping people learn those, you know, and their small businesses and things like that. And it's going pretty well thus far. Another thing that I'm focusing on, and I've talked about it on the show several times, is Ascension mentorship with Albert Winks, in which we're now rebranding as Ascension because there's a lot of different things that we see that we can help people with.
Yes.
And another thing that we are involved with is this group in Indianapolis called Amplify, and it's actually called Amplify Indy, which I'm going to bring you into as well before you do take off to China, because I think you should at least know that it exists before you take off, so that way you're like, oh yeah, definitely.
I want to learn more about this.
Yeah,
yeah, so I've heard of Amplify Indy. Like some places I've heard about it. Keep going. I'm gonna.
Well, here's the thing. It's a mastermind of entrepreneurs around Indianapolis. At least how I use it, because you come to these forums, you come to these. Harrison calls it the Council of 100. And it's basically what I had envisioned for Fizzle. We used to have what was called Verge here in town, just recently changed its name. But kind of what I had envisioned for both of those different groups and what I was hoping that they would turn into, neither moved that way. But man, Harrison, I mean, his marketing background, he's completely blown it out of the water, and it's just creating more and more steam. And you know, people from entrepreneurs and thought leaders and visionaries in general, just from around the city, are getting together on a regular basis and helping each other do more with their business. So really kind of a cool idea. And we're looking to not only build chapters with Ascension, but Amplify around the country and potentially around the world. So
that's awesome. So is this starting out in Indy, or is Amplify starting in Indy?
Yeah. So Harrison and Al. So Al's with Ascension, and then Harrison's with Amplify, and we're both starting them out in Indy. But because of my connections doing the show, it makes perfect sense for us to start, you know, kicking it out there to different, you know, spots on the globe, so to speak. So yeah, definitely excited about that. And the last thing that, as far as business wide goes, you know, back before I started New Inceptions, I was working full time with America Multisport, which is a company that I've also invested in. Mm-hmm. And really excited about the fact that we now have four licensed Viking events, which Viking Dash is not a mud run. It's a trail run we've had no problem with people coming from all around the Midwest to Little Indiana. And so we've taken it to the rest of the Midwest, and then coming in later this year, we're actually doing four licensed, so other people are actually producing the event, but we still get, you know, a little bit of a commission or licensee fee from those, which, you know, there's one going to be in California, there's one going to be up in St. Paul, and there's also going to be a one in Wisconsin, as well as all the way out in Seattle as well. And that one's just going to totally blow up. And I would assume within the next couple of years that we're going to have, you know, 10 or 20, who knows how many, because it's just, again, we're not actually producing those shows. We're just saying that this is what you guys need to do, and this is how you do it. And, you know, really exciting. So a lot of different things there.
So is the Viking events, is this the same as adventure racing?
No, a trail run can be anything from, like, it's just as you would have, so road running, right? Mm-hmm. Which is what you do with, you know, your minis. The difference is that you're on a trail. So a trail run can be anywhere from your 5Ks to your 10Ks to your mini distance to even, I mean, there are some ultra runs that are out there that you're talking about miles upon miles. And so this is, I think the biggest that we're going to be doing with a Viking is going to be the mini marathon distance, But one of the coolest things that's what's really unique about it is that, I know you're talking about the adventure runs, not the same thing, but one of the cool things that we are doing with it is that we actually have these medals, right? That, you know, swag is where it's at. When it comes to the events, swag is where it's at. And so one of the things that we've done is that we, you know, for our events, we have a medal that is like a Viking sword. We have a Viking axe. And then when you do these, all these different events, then you can put it on this, medal holder, which is actually it's a wooden two scale, a Viking boat. And then it has shields on the side where you can hang your medals from.
I like that. It's like what they do at Disney World. They make these nice little castle hanger holders for your medals, and they're different princess themes. So this one's more like, here, complete the set by finishing your Viking events.
Right. So we're doing that with our, we're kind of doing that with our triathlons as well. But ideally, in the long run, we want to be more of a licensing company as opposed to a production company, because in 2014, we did upwards of 50 events ourselves, and you want to talk about a miserable summer. That's just not the way to do it. Yeah. So that's pretty much going on. I mean, that's a lot of things going on business wise, but because of that, there's not too many things going on the personal side of things. Still looking to buy our own first house. You know, I inherited one, and then you got the we got a puppy in February, German Shepherd, that I had been familiar with because I was in dog club back in the day, in 4-H, and I've always had labs myself, and I was always competing against a couple. Well, I wouldn't say directly competing with, but I knew of German Shepherds that always seemed that they had their crap together, and I believe part of it is because they just seem to be much smarter dogs. If you want a smart dog and you don't mind a lot of shedding, German Shepherd's definitely one to go with. And nothing really other than that. I mean, just kind of keeping on, because again, a lot of business stuff going on, and whenever Maria and I can, we enjoy our breaks. So yeah, that's pretty much all there is to it.
So see, as you can see, guys, it's like we're constantly doing something, and we have real lives.
Yeah.
We're not just like, oh, it's a wonderful place, we have a wonderful war life, and no, we're living that. We're wanting to create that life, and we're in it.
Yeah. So, but yeah, a lot of things going on there, for sure. And you know, I focus more on the business side of things, just because I'm more more task oriented. But you know, Layla, on the other side, I know that you're more emotional based, so your business actually powers your ability to do more fun things with your life.
Well, I mean, my business allows me to do more things with my life, but I'm thinking about business all the time. That's what my husband says, like, you're thinking about the business all the time. Can we not talk about the business? And so that's where like some learning curves have come along the way, is when to shut it off, when to not shut it off. So I've come up with some morning rituals for myself and evening rituals to make sure that I make sure that, you know, in the business, the learning curve I've experienced is you got to shut it off when you need to shut it off. And then when you're ready to turn it on, you have to turn it on. So,
but yeah, no, I mean, speaking of learning curves, let's kind of go into some of those that, you know, we've had to actually go from, you know, starting this thing, whatever our thing was, to where we are now. And again, a lot has changed, and, you know, with change comes to learn some of these things. So what are some of the notable things that you've actually, besides learning when to turn yourself on for business and then later in the day turn yourself off, what are some of the notable things that you've had to learn during that time?
Well, honestly, a lot has changed as well on my end. You know, I was stuck, and I knew I wanted to be different And since the moment we started working together 2 years ago, and I had just gotten married and moved from New York City to Indiana and just trying to understand where things were and how to live this role in life of mine. And I think I knew that I was very fortunate that high school and up, I had mentors, and I still continue to develop those relationships and work mm-hmm. with them. And so I spoke with my mentors and higher level experts, and and I think overall I learned that I needed to own what I did before and not just put it aside. Like, you know, I had talked about NASA and how NASA was amazing, here it was, and that was a pivotal point in the last episode. So I'll never forget that. So I remember, like, since episode 14, when, you know, had me on the show and I just got married, we actually reconnected a couple weeks prior, just, you know, on Facebook. Back then we were not Facebook friends, can you believe it? And so just since that podcast and since working with you, I really focus a lot on what is it that I am most passionate about and what is it that I want to do with my life, because I left corporate America in 2015. So I, talking to my mentors, I learned that I needed to own what I had worked myself up towards to that point and take it with me, not just say, kick it aside. And I almost threw away a lot of NASA items. I almost deleted all my photos, and I'm so glad I didn't, because A, there are memories, and B, those were things that I worked my butt off to be a part of and work for and help be a part of that organization. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like I said, you know, this podcast, working with you on this podcast, has been awesome. So talking to mentors, seeking out mentorship, and just being flat out honest, saying, look, I'm stuck. Like, I'm working on this, but I'm stuck. And so after talking to mentors and new friends like Sarah DeVello on episode 52, and she flat out told me, like, it was blunt. Like, that was when she said it flat out. She said to me, I'm going to be very blunt with you because, you know, you came from the East Coast. I'm going to talk to you like East Coast. You know, why the hell you're putting away, like, throwing away NASA and not incorporating that in your brand? And, you know, you can't do all these different things. You can't do this, this, and this. Maybe later on you can, but you need to bring in NASA to this because you have built in so much knowledge and skills that you need to bring it in. So that was like a part of the conversation, thus the start of the name, the Fitness Astronaut. Yeah, you know, and that was what was like, oh my gosh, like, yeah, I'm so comfortable with that area, and there's nothing wrong with owning it and using it in a different focus and incorporating and acknowledging STEM education and engineering to show that, hey, you don't have to be that traditional route even if you study that path.
Right.
Or if it doesn't follow the way that you want it to be. So since then, I've been touching a lot of people's lives with that name and just talking to people and coaching them in mm-hmm. fitness as well as other topics like math. And just coaching them in college. So it's amazing how that's tied in so many things in my brand for people that connect with that. And then just later on, asking for help from experts like Veronica Kieran. You know, she is a female entrepreneur, a women's coach, but she also had this background in website design. And so she was in episode 51. And we spoke about, you know, the website and how to get that message across and how to brand yourself. And she was great. And she's doing so well right now. And just, you know, following up and catching up, because people are still always on their journey. They're never, like, set. Mm-hmm. And if you're set, I think that's very dangerous, in my opinion, that you need to continue to challenge yourself. And then later on, another learning curve that I had was talking to Brian Dury, you know, the author of Overcoming Graduation, mm-hmm. and on episode 86, I think, and talking to him about investing in yourself and hiring a business coach, and then just previous people along the way. I mean, I touched base with the entrepreneurs that helped me plan my destination wedding. You know, I had my big Freck Greek wedding, destination wedding. I had a Persian American wedding in Cancun, Mexico, and so talking to my destination wedding planner, and she brought out the idea of saying, hey, have you ever thought about becoming a wedding fitness coach? Like, I helped you plan the wedding, Layla. But I didn't help you get into that dress. You did it on your own because I couldn't help you with that area. And I was like, oh, yeah, you're right. So, yeah, I did it myself. I planned out the Gantt chart. I made the schedule. Chart. I treated it like I did. I made a Gantt chart, workout Gantt chart for every body type with a time frame with the schedule that I had available to me in New York with my budget, my food, grocery bill, everything. I only spent $40 a week. And I'm still still have a budget for my husband and I now.
I think you should always have a budget, though. Shouldn't you?
You should. You should, but people don't. They think I don't know. If I had known this formula or knew how to live today 10 years ago, I think I would have saved a lot of money and made some great savings. Just focused a lot on, as I was working, I was focusing on what was important to me. I loved weddings. I love celebrations. I love goals. I mean, I even, again, invested in myself by taking an aptitude test. And I realized that I scored really high on goals. She says, like, no wonder you did so well at NASA. That's all goal-based, launch-based, mission-based. And you will not do anything if it's for money. You will only do it because you're passionate about it. So I was like, well, isn't everyone like that? She's like, no. And I was like, okay. So it's good to know and get verification like that.
For sure.
And so I'm just thinking, man, and realizing that that all these ideas and all these directions that people were pointing me towards, I realized that this would take forever and I would be burnt out. And the moment, I'll never forget, my husband and I were walking on a walking trail, actually the Monon Trail. If anybody who's from Indianapolis, that's a famous trail. And we were walking and he said flat out, we're always talking about the business. Can we not talk about the business? And that's when I realized that I need to hire a business coach because I need someone to help me. I mean, I'm helping brides. I'm helping non-brides get fit and coach them without their significant other getting in the way or being affected. The same thing applied to me.
What's true is that, you know, one of the things I learned in the John Maxwell team is that a coach always needs to have their own coach because you always have to, you know, it's one thing to have a certain standard of getting, like if you're a trainer, you know what you know, and you're just going to train that much, and you need a constantly be learning, don't get me wrong, but if you're a coach will stretch you to be more than you are, and if you're going to be doing that with other people, then you need to be able to rely on that, have that from someone else, another source yourself, so that way you're constantly getting better yourself as a coach, but also learning new skills to better your practice as well, if that makes sense. So
absolutely, yeah. I mean, fact is, the same thing you're saying, a therapist needs a therapist. Mm. You know, a doctor needs a doctor. They can't self-prescribe.
Right.
So a coach definitely needs a coach. And there's only so much your friends and family can do. Their love for you will always get in the way of pushing you because they don't want to hurt you. But a coach is there to push you. And that is what I do as a lifestyle and wedding fitness coach. You know, I help people become wedding fit forever. And with all this help and mentorship and just working with you and working with all these other amazing people, sharing ideas, I started the Wedding Fit Forever Academy, which is my one-on-one coaching for brides and non-brides. So it was really important for me not to feel bad that I was focusing on an industry that I was passionate about.
Gotcha.
So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. And still working as I go. But okay, JC, now I want to know, what about you? Well, I mean, tell me about your learning curves. I've talked a lot right now. So share with me. What about you that you've learned in these 100 episodes in terms of learning curves? Tell me.
So I think I've already kind of mentioned this stuff before, but the biggest thing that I think that I've learned is that you just need to bring people value, and whatever you see out there, Okay. For one, this is not academia, which you can probably relate with me when where I'm going to be going with this, is that a lot of that material that's out there has been said once, time and time and time and time and time and time and time again, right? But you're going to be the first one taking that information to the people that you know, more than likely, because here, let's face it. Experts are people that only know a little bit more than the people that they're teaching, right? Technically speaking, that's what it is. And, you know, you can pull a little information over here and a little bit of information here, and then you honestly spin your own thing on it. And in fact, there's a quote by Steve Jobs, and I said this in a blog post at one time. He said, creativity is just connecting things. And when you ask creative people how they did something, they feel a little guilty because they didn't really do it. They just saw something. It seemed obvious to them after a while, and that's because they were able to connect experiences they've had and synthesize new things. So, for example, you know, a podcast. Well, what makes this podcast the same as the other ones is that I do have different elements that are all from different shows, right? And so if you listen to Tim Ferriss's show, it's going to be similar in many ways to Lewis Howes, and then Lewis Howes is going to be somewhat similar to Pat's. And, you know, the main thing is that they all have different guests, really, that are making the difference, or different experiences themselves that they can relate to the material, right? But it's really not going to be the same thing, right? Because they're putting their own personality into it. So I think that's been one of my biggest learning curves, is that this is not academia. You don't have to constantly think of new stuff all the time. Even if you're a new beginner and you feel like you have to quote, here's something that I learned from Brendon Burchard. The first time that you use something, sure, maybe go for the quote, especially if you take it word for word or something like that. You know, say that John Maxwell, you know, it gives you credibility, right? But honestly, if you use it time and time and time again, or, you know, if you've been in the business long enough, you know, change it up enough that it isn't exactly the same thing. You know, because again, your content is competing with content that's probably very, very, very similar to it, but you're the one, it's you, your story, it's your perspective. It's you who's sharing that new knowledge. Okay, so that's the biggest thing that I've had to get over, is just the academic way of, you know, doing things. It's a little bit freer out here.
So yes, exactly. So you're saying, so just to kind of clarify, what you're saying is that it's academia is very cookie cutter, and I think what you said that resonated with me is the fact that a person has been teaching the same concept over and over and over again, but it's like you are saying, "Well, why not this way?"
Right, and you can have the same points in there. You know, like I can't tell you how many people have quoted or at least taught John Maxwell stuff, for example. But there's no way in heck that they're teaching, saying, "Oh yeah, this is John Maxwell's content, and here you go." I mean, they might. Especially if they're a certified John Maxwell team member, but that's their job. That's what they're supposed to do. Likewise, if you're a Brendon Burchard certified high performance coach, that's what you're going to do. You're going to pretty much preach what Brendon teaches, but that's more of a franchise / a license agreement. You kind of have to do that based on law. So, anyway, yeah, it's, don't feel like you're constantly having to quote other people, because that's not how it's done. It's all about being creative and putting your own likeness onto things that have probably been said and said over and over again. And honestly, yeah, it's nothing new. Because how many times has the wheel been created? Probably once, and then people use it over and over and over again, right?
Yeah. They use it over and over again, or they use it to improve it, or they use it to twist out the way it curves, the width of it. I mean, that's a great concept, is you don't have to come up with something completely new.
But getting value to people and how I do that, that's changed. Obviously, I've already mentioned this, that the audio on the show has changed. And if you want some input on how I got that all taken care of, you can go to Cole Johnson's interview. And actually, that's moved more to, I've got that so flattened out now that I just, it's kind of like a checklist of the things that I have to do for each episode. And actually, it's to the point where I could probably start teaching someone else to start doing some of this stuff. And we'll see if it happens, but I might actually be able to pull a few mentees in to start doing that as their craft, and then I can help them make a podcast sort of editing / show note sort of freelance thing with them, helping them get that going. But yeah, besides the podcast in itself, getting a value out there, Oh, another thing that I wanted to mention is that there's certain kind of posts out there that will create more content than others, which is a new way of doing SEO. And there's I want to thank Brian Dean for that. He's a pretty cool guy. His site is Backlinko, and you can check out. He has a couple of courses I think that you should check out. But put a lot of effort into learning new kinds of SEO skills in the past year. And again, I've most recently been, working on the sales funnels and refiguring out how Facebook leads, or not Facebook, but Facebook ads, and how all that stuff works. So a lot of different things going on. But anyway, as far as learning curves and things that we are still learning about, another thing that I wanted to kind of dive into, and this is going to be a review of the podcast itself, are some of the themes that we actually have picked up through the various guests that we've had. And you've already started kind of doing this, talking about Veronica and Brian and those folks back there. There is an ongoing theme of the stories that we've had. And so we tried to kind of put them down into a list of some of the things, some of the takeaways that are
takeaways.
So first one I think is really important that you actually kick this off, because I think for you this was something that you definitely have done a little bit more so than me, because I think you've invested in yourself quite a bit, where I haven't invested so much in myself in the last couple of years, because I've had a much longer runway than you. Honestly, I've been learning about this stuff since, actually when I got out of grad school back in 2009 and 2010. So I want to hear about this. What all does, and what's the importance of investing in yourself, and, what all have you invested in these last couple of years?
Right. I mean, I do agree that we did talk about this in terms of what were our takeaways. Mm-hmm. From the show, and this last year since starting, since you started, mm-hmm. Angles of Latitude, definitely the biggest biggest takeaway I could say is invest in yourself. And I saw a lot of people not doing that and convincing me not to do that, because first of all, let me just say this: investing in yourself is so key, and the first is a big investment, a scary thing. But if you think about it, it's kind of like I'm relating to that, because my clients are scared to invest in themselves. So, but as a coach, as an entrepreneur, I have to invest in myself too. So I gotta practice what I preach, and I'm doing it. So it might need a lot of money. It may not need a, may not require as much money. But collaborating with entrepreneurs is key, which is, okay, I'm going off topic here. So, sorry. It is so important to invest in yourself. I find it so pivotal. It was the biggest, it was the scariest thing I ever did this year in my career. I even talked about it in my YouTube channel, and it's Layla Aliyah. And there I talk about, like, I made some big improvements and changes. I didn't talk about it, but I definitely investing in myself. And by hiring a business coach, talking to people on the show, networking, going to events, finding out what was your, who to talk to, who you can share your ideas with privately in a safe place was key for me. So that was an investment I made for myself to help my business and also protect my marriage from falling apart. If because if it, I'm not saying it was falling apart, but I could see that if this continues, it's going to impact my marriage. And how investing yourself, such as not in just the business, but in yourself, like health-wise, fitness is so important. I cannot tell you how important that is with fitness. And I say this from personal experience before I even started this business, is I had it, investing in yourself, in your health and fitness is so key because it affects your energy. It affects your ability to interact with people. And you can tell the difference between someone who's really successful and someone who's not based on their presence. Are they on? Are they off? Are they ready to, or are they just ready to turn off the switch and just go home at 3 o'clock?
Right.
You know? So, and I've seen, I'll never forget this, when I was talking to people, especially before I started my business in corporate America, they said, if I, I'll never forget this, one guy told me, and he was very successful. He says, if I don't invest in myself in the morning or afternoon, then how, and take myself seriously, then no one will take me seriously. And that's what I say, like, if you don't take yourself seriously inside and out, no one will.
Right. And the other thing is that, you know, I was just talking about Lewis Howes, but, you know, in his book, The School of Greatness, and even Tyler Philbrick in the last episode of 99 mentioned this, you know, if you don't have, if you don't have energy, if you're not taking care of yourself, you're not going to have the energy to get done what you need to get done. And it's just ultimately just so important that you take care of yourself so that you can take care of others, period. I mean, that's as simple as what it's going to be. So
period. Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what I tell my brides and my non-brides, that if you can't take care of yourself, everything's going to go to crap. Like, I mean, for weddings, if the bride cannot focus on herself and she's so focused on the guests and everything, she's going to become a bridezilla.
Right, right. So next thing, that another theme that we've run across, and this is going to come up in future podcasts as well. I have one in mind that I'm going to kind of surprise you guys with, that I was able to get this as a guest. But mentorships is honestly, I mean, we've heard it so many times from young entrepreneurs, especially, you know, that mentorships are basically the shortcut to success. And the thing is that if these folks didn't have mentors in their lives, then they would have been like any other normal kid trying to figure out life and worrying about the crap that's in high school. But because they had these mentors that had been so successful in their lives, that, you know, that was the key to where they're already at today. And, you know, I was just listening to a, you know, an episode with Art of Charm this past week. And, you know, Jordan was mentioning that the best way to connect with people that are influencers that you want to be like is to not be weird around them or try to think about how to connect to them. But honestly, try to, if you can, and I don't know if they're ever going to get back to you, but ask them how they got to where they are. And if you take their advice, and, you know, someone that's easily accessible as a Pat Flynn, for example, if you take their advice, apply it, let him or her know the results. And as long as they're continuing to give you advice, repeat, 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 repeat. And this might become a true mentorship. So that's my advice and that one is that I think you need to find those people that have already been to where you're at, because there's always going to be those folks. But, you know, make sure that, you know, you're giving them value by saying that what they told me actually works. So that's good.
Yes. And I totally agree with you, because I would not be where I am without mentorships or friends that are friend mentorships. I'll call them friend tours. Because I actually made a video about this on my channel, about the importance of mentorship, how you can be derailed so easily. But if you don't have a mentor who understands your goal, you could get derailed so fast, but they can actually help you get back on track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the thing is that they see it too from a higher level. So of course they're going to be able to see what you're doing and being like, okay, well you can experiment with that if you want, but here you go. Sort of thing. But yeah.
Yes.
Another one that you brought up that, I think is definitely, again, more your situation, especially in the last 2 years, is learning about yourself and taking aptitude tests, whether it's personality strengths, you know, different tests that are out there that can tell you a lot about yourself. Highly think they're important. Again, I've been benefited to know about my personality for several years now. In fact, my undergrad, my minor in organizational leadership was the first time that I ran across personality tests and goal setting and things like this. But let me hear it from you, because again, it's a little bit more fresh from you and how important these things are.
Yes. Well, I, you know, taking an aptitude test when I was at a low point, and there was nothing wrong with taking as an adult. First of all, you can take an aptitude test before you go to college. You can also take an aptitude test when you're just at that career pivotal point saying, I don't know what to do with my life. And that's what, that was me. And so I learned through my aptitude test that I'm excellent in goals. I'm weak in certain areas, but I'm excellent in goals. I'm passionate about just being passionate about something. I go with it. And that was why NASA was such a perfect fit for me, because I was passionate about it. It had a goal. It had a deadline. And for me, obviously that career path changed when certain things did not line up, but I created a similar strategy to the wedding industry. Countdown to the aisle, fitness for the, you know, being wedding fit forever. So there's nothing wrong with it. And there's no such thing as being ashamed of it. It's actually a huge courage leap for myself and a lot of people.
And, you know, I think when you start learning about who you are and what your strengths are and what your personality is, again, a lot of people are going to see that stuff as kind of a, what's that going to get me? Well, honestly, you need to know that stuff out. Just like on a map, you need to know where you're at so you know where you're going. Otherwise, what's the point of having a map if you don't know where you're at? Because nothing relates, right? Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, man, I wish I did this way earlier, but it's okay. It's okay. It's never too late.
So, and the next takeaway that we got is that the riches are in the niches. And, you know, pre-show you'd mentioned that, and it reminded me that in Russell Brunson's book, he talks about Red Sea versus Blue Sea. And, you know, the thing is that with that real quick, I mean, honestly, I think I've already talked about this a little bit already, is that the Pat Flynn's of the world, right, are out there already making names for themselves. So in your case, it would be Chalene Johnson. And, you know, the thing is that everybody knows her as Beachbody. Everybody's Beachbody. Beachbody, 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 Beachbody. And there's so many freaking, like, I don't
isogenics.
Know.
There is
so many different lines of it. Right, right. That you can do with it. But it's still a me too, right? It's still this is what I'm trying to do. Well, the person can only be so many things. So a lot of the information that's there will apply to whatever it is that you're trying to teach, or maybe someone else is trying to teach. But again, let's go back up to what I was saying is that originality, if you can bring your own story to it, if you can bring your own self to it, then it's no longer that other person. It's no longer that other entity. It is yours because you've put so much more on top of it. I mean, honestly, if you were to talk to a chef, right? And what's the difference between what a chef does to a particular dish that maybe is well known as being like home cooking from, you know, the Midwest, and then they put this one little flair in it and it's like, boom, something completely different. And it's made by Chef Zaho or whatever, you know, whatever the chef's name is. So that's the difference, is that if you, as long as you put your, going back to what I was saying earlier, as long as you put your own flair into something, it's original. All right. Because world's too big. There's billions and billions and billions of people. And honestly, if you're, you know, worried about being like, oh, this is too much like this other place, or this is too, you're thinking with a very academic mindset, and that's not going to help you in the world of entrepreneurship.
Exactly. Yes. And people are going to not buy your, let's say, product or your method. They're going to buy you.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
It's important to niche yourself and sell yourself by you.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I see it.
Right. Another thing that we realized, and this is I think very to the point, is that competitors don't have to be competitors. They can simply be collaborators. And what does that mean is that, like, maybe there's some people that are wanting, okay, so let's use what I'm doing with Amplify and Ascension, right? Well, we all want to educate people about stepping, you know, being more in their career, right? Al is more focused on, you know, helping veterans. And then you have Harrison, who's more centralized on helping those folks that are in Indianapolis. But then I came on board, and not only was I kind of bringing the whole, you know, more or less the whole world, because I never really had like an actual place that I said that this is the folks that I'm helping. But, you know, I'm also bringing the fact that I specifically want to help, you know, solopreneurs or people that want to leave the 9-to-5, or, you know, maybe they grew up in a small town like I did and they just want to make more with their lives and what's provided for them in those small pockets of the country, so to speak, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, again, originality can be only as much as the context of how something's used, or the story behind how something's used. I mean, a tool is still a tool. A hammer is still a hammer, right? So there you go. What else you got?
I think overall, to recap, I mean, overall, another takeaway from the things we've said is definitely it's okay to be a different frequency. So if you're thinking something different from what everyone else has been doing, then just pursue it. Mm-hmm. And see what it turns out to be. We both thought that we were going to do something one way, but it changed to our frequency, to our own frequency. The other thing that I think we should, that is another takeaway, is it's okay to say no to people. And I thought I could do that all the time. I'm always saying no, no, no. But I realized that it's still hard to say no to some people that you used to say yes to.
Mm-hmm.
Or some of that I was saying no to before, I'm saying yes to. But mostly it's harder for me to say no because you can't be all over the place.
Right, right. And you don't have to be, just because someone says that, oh, do you have a background in so-and-so? Well, no, not technically. I'm not a nutritionist. You know, in your case, I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not someone that, you know, is technically a certified trainer and can, you know, work in a gym, but yet you're still doing what you're doing. In other words, you don't have to be certified for Jack. You don't have to be, you know, you can. You know, if you want to be a coach, if you want to be a professional coach, and there's associations for professional coach, and being part of that association is going to open up more doors for you and, you know, more ways for you to grow your business, go for it. You don't have to, though. I mean, As long as you're not doing something that is, again, by law, something you can't practice, i.e. being a doctor, you know, you don't want to go into surgery and, or you don't want to, you know, be a realtor that doesn't have a license or something like that. And that, those are, that, that one in particular is fairly easy to get. I don't know why you would want to become certified there, but you know, there's just certain things that, you really don't need a certification for. So, you know, just act the part and then be the part there shortly after. And I think another thing that brings up is two things. For one, test things out before you actually go head deep into them.
Yeah, that's so true.
And even when you do, just do it for free for people. See how you like it. See if you enjoy doing it. And then if you actually get results from that, that's when you can actually start charging and see from there. And this is something they just talk about at Fizzle and other places. See what is your most viable product or your service. You know, from those results that you have, see what's the most important for those particular clients. Charge on that and then add on to it with a bigger price and more services.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So that way you could build, I think for that, and to add on to that, it's to first see if you like it, but most importantly, build your confidence. Mm-hmm. And then you're confident to charge people the price you are offering. And you can say, talk about it confidently, as well as saying, I know I can create results. As you can see, these are the results I've provided for my clients, both in, and it can be in any category, you right. know, because right. people want to see results before they start paying.
Right. Exactly. So, if we were to, let's just kind of all these different things that were just, you know, our takeaways, our learning curves that we personally had to go through, let's kind of just put these into a roadmap. Like, what is a way that we can just quickly just sketch out, this is the way that you should probably do things from here on out if you're starting a business, or maybe you've already started one, but there maybe some of these things you haven't implemented yet. What's the first thing that someone should do?
Oh, well, I think just kind of like laid it all out as saying, you know, learn about who you really are, honestly, and invest in making yourself better. I mean, that's like I said before, I invested in myself in certain areas, certain people to help me out. And that is really learn about what it is you want to do and slowly invest on making it better, making yourself better, making your brand better, making the business better.
Because you don't want to be stuck doing a business that you hate.
Right? Oh, gosh, no. Yes, you don't want to get stuck on hating it for two reasons. You don't want to stuck hating it because you're not bringing in income, but you're also not, you don't want to hate it because you hate doing it. Right. You want to really like meditate on it and focus on it more. By the way, I've been meditating a lot. it's been great. Really just diving in more of what does your inner presence say
right.
to do.
Yeah, do a business that fits who you are, right?
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then after that, once you start on that path, once you realize what that path is, you start seeking, again, let's go back to those mentors. You gotta get those mentors early in the space that you want to be in. And don't focus on being exactly like them, because everybody, even though they're teaching very similar stuff, get out there, meet mentors, meet people, but don't be even if they're the same types, take their content, rehash it so it is your own. And you know, again, you guys know that great fan of Pat Flynn. How am I making myself different than Pat? Well, I bring a lot more mindset stuff than Pat. Pat's more of a nuts and bolts kind of guy. He always has been, which has made him so popular. But then Fizzle came into play, and that's why I loved Fizzle, because they were so much more in the mindset. So the thing is that you need to speak your blue ocean, watch your spin on what's already out there, and where can your situation come in handy?
Yes. Yes. I love how you said that. Perfect.
So, outside of that, If you're seeking the big mentor, also get a mentor, like a lower mentor that you can actually readily access, so that, you know, you're on a regular basis with them, so they can, you know, maybe you have the pat for the course, the course adjustment, right? So that at least you have a bearing of where you're wanting to go. But for a fine adjustment, you need that lower mentor, I think. You know, someone that might be running like a Facebook group, or, you know, of maybe 1,000 people or so, someone that's easily accessible. So that way you can actually have that direct content with them. So they're not, you know, I keep talking about this professor phenomenon thing where, you know, yeah, people are so high up in success that they can only yes, help those that are immediately below them, but they can't relate, nor do they have the time to talk to the newest of new people. You know, Pat tries to reach those folks, but he's to a point where so many people can't relate to where he is. And that's why so many people go back to his original content, even though it's outdated to this point. And it's an interesting piece all in itself. So anyway,
because maybe his focus is changing too. You know, people want to be like him, but he had a head start.
Right. Exactly.
And so you're helping people that want to get that head start now.
Well, and I was listening to Brendan Burchard has a new podcast on, by the way. Mm-hmm. And he's in the second episode as of this past week. And one of the things that he's trying to say that in this new podcast of his is that he wants to make it about his week basis. And so what he ended up doing this past week was he talked in front of 10,000 people twice. And the first time he did it, he was like, oh, this is like, I had a six because I came on stage flat and I realized it. And then I just made it better. So I gave my 6 out of 10 on that one. But later in the day, I had another one that I was in front of 10,000 people. And I did much better because earlier I knew how to make that self adjustment. Okay, well, that's great for you, Brendan, but how does that apply to those of us who are just getting started? And so he's trying to break that down in that entire podcast, which is great. And I appreciate that he's doing that. But the thing is, you can't readily say, hey, Brendan, how do I get to that point? Like, what did you do specifically at this point? Right? He's not accessible for that. But He's your course adjustment. It's still good to listen to those folks at those higher levels. So you have that course adjustment. Like when I'm talking about a course adjustment, there's when you're using like a scientific like measurement device or something, like there's a course adjusting and there's a fine tuning adjusting. All right.
Yes.
And so having these big mentors out there, that's kind of like, okay, that gives me like an end goal, sort of, at least for me, where I'm trying to go to, even though they keep going. But you have to have that fine tuning so that you stay on course. Otherwise, you're going to, you know, if you were in a plane and you were setting your destination to Spain, then, and all you had was a course adjustment, well, you might end up in the Mediterranean Sea, right? It's not that far off, but it's still kind of off.
You know,
and if you have that of a fine adjustment as you're going along, right, then your chances of ending up in Spain are much higher than not, you know? So There you go. After that, I think the next biggest thing that you got to have to worry about once you find those mentors is just starting your craft, start helping people for free until you have reproducible results. And that's when you can charge. That's when you can start charging, because that's the only one that makes sense.
And I know some people say like, well, you know, I want to just help people. I'll never forget this. One girl was like flat out broke saying, I just want to help people. And I was honest with her. Who wants to invest in you because you're not showing the life that people want to have. So you need to invest in you need to develop the income to create the life you want to have by helping people after free, so you can continue to reproduce those results as you have the life that you want to continue to reduce and to replicate over and over.
Right. And as you're starting your craft, you know, Chase Reeves once was talking about this all the time on the Fizzle Show. Learn to mind the gap. You know, Ira Glass, this is something that I've put in the show notes numerous times. Learn to mind the gap. There's going to be, you're going to have a particular taste as a consumer. You have a particular taste of what you like as a creator. If you're first starting, you're not going to have that, the ability to produce what your consumer self likes. And as you get higher and higher and what you're able to produce, in your content, for example, it's going to get better. And I mean, Layla's, you know, I'm sure in her video career has gone from something that she might not have been as proud of to where she is today, which is, I'm sure, much further along the process.
Oh, yeah. I even recorded myself the day that I quit my job. So, yeah, it's definitely like that down pitfall feel of, I just have to quit my job. I can't believe I did this.
And I'm not going to take that test either.
I'm not going to. I made the video about me not taking the test. Like, I decided not to take the test. I can't believe I'm not doing what everyone tells me to do.
Right. Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
This is usually the normal point in the conversation where we're talking about future endeavors. Personally, I'm... still pretty thrilled about learning about marketing and sales funnels and going to be able to figure out. I've already figured out what my niche is going to be, which honestly is helping businesses in hometowns, because it seems to me like a lot of the big names are going after larger cities or places that are even bigger margins of profit. That's fine. Here's the thing. There's a lot more hometowns out there than big cities, folks. So, if you want to go into doing sales funnels for people, start in those hometown markets.
That's awesome. That's a great idea. Yeah, you're right. There's more hometowns than cities.
Yeah. So how about you, Layla? Where are you looking forward to?
Well, honestly, I'm really looking forward to building my, empire from China or wherever I am in the world, traveling. And do more public speaking if the opportunity ever arises. I love to share with people my message and connect with people, and because I know a lot of people can relate to my story, and just building that business to be able to help brides be wedding fit forever, because everywhere they are, everyone's getting married.
Right. So. Yeah. There's a lot of marriages out there for sure.
Yes, and it's a non-dying industry.
Right.
It won't get canceled, and there's always a lot of budgets.
Yeah, and I don't think recession really harms that market too much either.
Exactly. So, but before I forget, I do want to mention one thing that I liked to share before we get into the rapid fire questions. Is this? I know how important it is to take care of our health and our bodies, and I wanted to give whoever's on this show listening on the show, the audience, a gift, which is a free strategy session or consultation for anybody who wants to become wedding fit forever. And because this is my home audience, and I usually do charge $197 for my strategy sessions, I am doing this. I'm giving this special gift for free. So. I want to give you guys a special gift and how you can become wedding fit forever. And also, for those who just want to know more about what it is, I invite you to join my free Facebook support group called Wedding Fit Forever. So let's get into the rapid fire questions.
So moving on to the rapid fire questions. Who are three influencers or teachers that have launched you to where you're currently at today?
Three influencers and teachers that have launched me to where I am today. I have a lot, but I would say my husband for sure. He's been a huge influencer. The person who really kind of got me into wanting to do a business was my NASA mentor, Yvette Aponte. Another person who really helped me just define my brand, define my identity, define who I am, is Charlotte Bonneau from GB Graphics. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to give you another name.
Okay.
definitely is the people, I have to sum it all up. The people on the show that I spoke with that I just briefly mentioned, Sarah DeVello, Veronica Kieran, Brian Dury, big help, huge help in helping me focus on investing myself and not just push aside what I've done before, but owning it. Mm-hmm. And my business coach, who has been amazing, as well as you, JC. You know, you've been such a great supporter in helping me connect with everybody right. in these networks. And
Yep. And that's definitely one of the things that I'm good at is connecting the dots. And so I appreciate that.
You're welcome. So, so for you, JC, what are your top favorite books that you should tell others to read about?
Oh, favorite. Okay. So I think we've already talked about one quite a bit is the, Expert Secrets by Russell mm-hmm. Brunson, which I'll have a link for that in the show notes and how you can get that for free. All you have to pay is shipping on that. I think the book actually usually goes to like $20 retail. So that's actually a good deal. And then kind of a cop out would be, Will It Fly? That's a good book by Pat. You know, I love all of his launch last year, back in February of 2016. That was awesome. Everything that went around that. So that was definitely another good book. And one that I always go back to, and this is just, you know, we were talking about how you have to figure out where you are in the world, right? And so one of the first personality books that I ever read was called Wired That Way, which I believe is written by Marita Litauer. Anyway, her and her mom, Florence, have been really big in helping people in over the years really figure out how to deal with different personality types. So, yeah, those would be my three books that I would tell others about for sure.
Got it.
So, what is something that you wish was still a thing, Layla?
Oh my gosh. I wish the 80s were still in. Like, seriously, a thing. I mean, I know it's coming back since the show Stranger Things came out, and like, I love that show because it's like reminds me of the 80s, but 80s and early 90s. Like, I feel that the shows like Home Improvement and I know these shows are having remakes, but I feel like they need to still be a thing for families to watch.
Yeah.
Because today's shows are not as deep.
Well, and they're not as deep, but they skimp on the good stuff and they don't go as deep on the more important stuff, like just, you know, values and things like that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if Home Improvement came in out in the late 80s, but I know for sure that in the early 90s you had Family Matters and Step by Step and of course the new Full House is going on, you know, Fuller House, which is so freaking corny compared to, I don't know if the old one was as corny as this, but it's just like, that's interesting. Things have changed so much.
It's so nostalgic. I mean, you can tell that they're still good and like, you know, but it's like Home Improvement, Family Matters, Full House. What other shows that were classics? Friends, Everyone Loves Raymond. Like those mm-hmm. are my favorite shows.
Right.
And I'm actually rewatching Friends now. I mean, but those family shows, I feel like from Family Matters till say Everyone Loves Raymond and Friends, like that era, I feel like I should always still be a thing to go back and watch those shows and just remember those family, my like TGIF. I wish TGIF was still a thing. That's it.
There you go.
TGIF.
You just wish the 90s was still a thing. That's basically what you're saying.
Sure. Ish. Yes, 90s. I mean, well, I was born in the 80s.
Yeah, well, but we were kids in the 90s, though. We were kids. Impressionable kids in the 90s. How about that?
I agree. I wish the 90s was still a thing.
There you go. We'll recap it.
So for you, JC, what is the smallest decision you've ever made that had the largest impact on your life?
Probably choosing to teach algebra at Ivy Tech. Because eventually that's how I met Maria. Was
your wife.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, I took that job because I needed some income at the point. And I was just kind of like, well, I'm working with a startup over here, but it's not really providing much income. So I need to be doing something that's actually part-time so that I can still bring some decent income in and then work this one over here. And that ended up coming to fact that met her, and she's actually 2 months older than me, so it's not necessarily a big deal. It's not like I was robbing the cradle or anything, but it's just funny how things work out. So yeah, suddenly accepting a role as an algebra instructor, even though when I was in college, I sucked at algebra so much. So
I know. It's amazing. You look back and like, how did I fail this class?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like my brain wasn't developed yet.
I must've been because I don't remember it right. I'm not using it, so I don't remember it right now. But when I look at it, it's like, oh yeah, this makes sense. Okay. Sure. Says most people. So, but yeah. What is something that you believe that all high school students must know?
I believe that all high school students must know. Okay, since I also am a math tutor and sub, when I was like, do this these 2 years, I took, jobs in. So I was a substitute teacher for math only. And what I've realized since I was now what's going on today, I really want high school students to know the importance of showing your work.
Mm.
I mean, truly, that I have noticed a lot of kids are so sucked onto addicted to their calculators, they cannot think for themselves. So I believe that high schoolers must know that they have the capability of doing what they know is in their potential to do versus using a tool like a calculator and to show your work. Because in the real world, you're going to have to show your work.
Well, and it's more important that your work is your, not necessarily your own, but because we've already talked about that numerous times in this one.
Yes,
but,
I know.
It's like, but showing the process, knowing the process of getting to the result. That's what's important.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Like knowing the process of what it is to take the result. It's not easy. It's not a cookie cutter. It is, I mean, there is a cookie cutter phase, but it's most importantly, like, it's not handed to you. You have to work for it.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in different school districts where some kids don't work or some kids just don't know the value of that dollar yet, they just think it's going to be smooth sailing and they live on cloud nine. But the reality is you need to do the work and you need to show it and you need to work for it.
Mm. Right.
Okay, who is the most awe-inspiring person you have met and why?
Oh, geez. This is, talk about a retired question and one that I don't even ask that much, but the most awe-inspiring person that I have met and why would probably be John Maxwell.
What? You met him?
Oh, yeah. And, cool. And as a JMT member, my class, I can do it even better. My class, we got the opportunity to actually go to his house.
Oh, wow.
And I can show you, personally, I can, if he still lives there, I can show you on a Google map where it's at. And I was able to see his, in a lot of his stories, he talks about how he indexes things and prepares it so that he can write. And I forget, it's like the five rules or three rules of, no, the five rules of how he does every day and, or five steps of how he goes to each day. But anyway, it wasn't huge. I mean, it wasn't like something that is out of the ordinary. I mean, there was a lot of books, but if you're an educated person, you're more than likely going to have a collection of books anyway. His filing system was crazy because he actually got to show it to us and how it worked and how he was able to, make books from that. But honestly, I mean, the awe didn't necessarily come from, oh, wow, how awesome he is. It's more like along the lines of, oh, wow, how awesome his systems are laid in the place to have gotten to him, to help him get to where he is today. So that's, that's, I think that if I was to answer that question, and you know, and I've been thinking about that over the, you know, episodes, that would definitely be my answer. So.
Oh, that's great. I like that you get to see it for yourself versus hearing it. And that speaks volumes because you retain it and it makes an impact.
Right. Right.
For you
right.
to learn.
All right. Well, wrapping up things finally today. This is, again, was session 100, the big 100. You know, Layla, any last words of, you know, what do you want to say anything as we're heading off today?
No, I don't. I mean, I just have to say that, you know, again, my gift to everybody who has been supporting this podcast is that free strategy session for people who want to become a wedding fit forever. Mm-hmm. And you know where to find us here. And obviously the links will be in your show notes, you're saying?
Yep. Show notes. We'll be there with all the links.
And, you know, and continue staying tuned for some great episodes to come.
All right. Well, Layla, as usual, thank you for being on the show. And, good silver session for you and a good, you know, episode 100 for everybody else, I suppose. So.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And same for you, JC. I mean, like, you know, from the beginning, I could tell you're a lot of things have just improved. And, you know, and again, we're living that life of abundance.
That's right.
You know, we're trying to focus on making what that means to us and living that.
For real. Right, right. All right, Layla. Well, thank you so much. Cheers.
You're welcome. Cheers. Take care.
And there you have it. You know, it was fun to do this session, more of an advice sort of show than, you know, our normal format, but, you know, we still managed to fit in those key rapid fire questions there at the end. And, you know, I guess you could say that this show was more of a fizzle show kind of style, minus the chase. You know, we didn't have all of Chase's humor in this one, but, you know, we hope you enjoyed it. And both Layla and I have come a long way, and it's just incredible how quickly these two past years have flown by for the both of us, really, but yet we feel so much farther along than when we first started. If you like what you heard today and would like for us to do more shows like this, drop us those reviews in iTunes at newinceptions.com/AOL iTunes, or simply review us on your iPhone. Again, if you don't have access there, send us an email at heyguys@newinceptions.com. And this session's extras found at newinceptions.com/100. You know, the thing is that Layla is big into videos, and in fact, that's the medium that she prefers to be on herself. So I wanted to show you guys some of the evolution of the quality of her videos and how far her own production value has gone up over the last couple of years. So I'll start with two that she talks about quitting her job and not taking the PE exam. You know, again, she talked about these in today's chat, but you know, these were actually pretty soon right after session 14, but definitely great choices in hindsight because it removed distractions from her life. You know, being able to quit her job and focus on it precisely what she wanted to do, which she ended up quitting the job and becoming a substitute and a tutor. And, you know, that gives her enough income to be able to support herself as she's pursuing her long-term dreams. And then after those two videos, I have a couple that are more recent, including one where she talks about the 2 years since her wedding, which, you know, basically the same 2 years. And then that's followed up by one where she is in her element talking about the importance of having a great wedding photographer. You know, she's been a photographer in the past herself. And in fact, if you look at the URL of her channel, it still says photographer in there. So definitely some good advice that you can get there. And in fact, Maria and I are going to have some additional shots done of her dress, hopefully in the not too distant future. And, you know, she feels that she didn't get as many as she'd like to. And, you know, hopefully Layla's going to be a good help for that. So anyway, check out all those videos in the show note extras. Again, you can find that at newinceptions.com/100. So, speaking of Session 100, I think that's a wrap. Thanks again for joining us for this celebration edition. You know, it's been a long, long journey. And don't forget, if you want to get connected with Layla, myself, or anyone else you've heard on the show directly, you can do so by going to the AOL Networking Group on Facebook. And you can get to it directly by going to newinceptions.com/AOL networking. And in next week's show, we're starting on the right foot with a great guest that some of you might have heard of. He's making a big name for himself here in Indy, and his career as an entrepreneur is really, it's really just beginning, technically. If you were to ask him, he would say that I'm finally free to be able to focus on the stuff that I want to do. His name is Jeremy Miller, and when I first met him, you know, he seemed like he was a seasoned vet in his mid-20s, if not older. Very well spoken. In fact, he has been a speaker several times, been around the country doing all kinds of things. But nope, not mid-20s, not even early 20s. He just recently graduated high school. And anyhow, in this session with Jeremy, Al and I find out what makes him tick and how he got to where he's at, and you know what motivates him to keep doing the work that he does. And I really think you guys are going to enjoy the heck out of it. But as usual, be sure to you're informed when that session is published. All you have to do is like the New Inceptions page on Facebook, and then underneath the following tab, just select See First. So guys, that's it for Session 100. Wow, can't believe I'm saying that. And again, be sure to check out ClickFunnels free for 14 days by going to newinceptions.com/ClickFunnels. And that said, I appreciate you joining Layla and myself in this session. Until next time, gang, dig in, have fun, take care in whatever you're creating, and we'll see you back here next time.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter at newinceptions, Instagram at new.inceptions, and on the web at newinceptions.com.